Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things.
Ray! Do the hammerlock. I do the hammerlock. Do the hammerlock, you turkey necks. Yeah, do the hammerlock.
I do the hammerlock. Everybody's doing it. Yep, I just sing along to the theme every week now. Guys, welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things. I am Chris Things Brian, your host, your friend, your wrestling art creator, and interview man. Yes, that's what I'm doing today. I'm putting on my interview cap, and we've got another Wrestling Art curator edition of the show for you. Super excited to have back a previous guest on the show that I just had the bloody best time talking to on our previous chat, so I'm super stoked for this one. Yes, we have Lil Petey Puro, Gotch Style Bong Rips on Instagram, who I think has my favourite Instagram handle of all time, will be joining us in a little bit to talk the latest in his art, latest in his life, probably just chop it up as two buddies do. We're probably going to go all over the place in this chat, free-flowing stream of consciousness. If that sounds like your vibe, then excellent. But yeah, looking forward to speaking to Petey. I've got Badger upstairs barking. I hope there we go again. It is what it is here. We run a very professional ship. Just a second. Let me fix this. All right. Hey, man. Running a podcast while having dogs, it's a challenge, you know, but we do our best. Badger's sitting here now, a little bit more on the quiet side. She's a good girl. But, yes, this is Wrestling Art with Chris Things. Looking forward to talking to Petey in a little bit. But in the meantime, we have our What's Gone in the World of Chris Things, little segment here. I had another wrestling club last night at the Scratch, and I had so much fun. I think maybe in our next episode I'll include some little excerpts from that evening. Today we've got our interview with Petey, so I'll keep that stuff aside. But I did just want to say that was a lovely night. Thank you so much for everyone who came out to the Scratch to enjoy the weird and wonderful wrestling that I curated up on the big screen. We had a lot of fun, weird stuff there, including my celebration of the Von Erichs versus Freebirds feud. We had some Vader and Bam Bam versus the Steiner Brothers, tremendous match there. We had some Lucha Underground, some tremendous Joshi wrestling. We went all over the place, culminating with Tatsumi Fujinami versus Tenryu interpromotional dream match from 1996 New Japan. That is one of my favorite matches ever. If you haven't seen that one, please do. But yeah, super fun night. Thank you so much for everyone for coming out. We even had some trivia through the evening where I did a bit. We went around and people had to name different animal gimmick wrestlers. That was the thing there. And I was very impressed by everyone's level of knowledge. This trivia thing that I thought would have taken 2 minutes probably went for about 15. Kept on going around the circles, kept coming up with different animal gimmick wrestlers or somewhat animal gimmick adjacent wrestlers. So much fun. Just made my heart very full. You'll also very much appreciate the people that purchase the things on the evening too. You know, that's what keeps this running. So I appreciate you guys very much. If any of y'all out there would like to do such things, christhings.com.au is the place to go. No pressure. But if there is anything that you find cool that you would like in your life, I would love to help bring that into your life by you giving me money. I try not to be just like non-stop plug man here, but you know, you gotta lean into it a little bit. But yeah, man, I'm super stoked on things. I also have a massive convention expo thing coming up this weekend and for the rest of December. It's called the Oddities and Curiosities Expo. It's like a big expo of weird shit from North America. They came over to Australia for the first time last year. I did the Brisbane show, and that was really a kicking off point for me for doing in-person stuff, for selling my art in person, and it being a game changer in terms of making this a full-time income. So I'm very excited for the return of Oddities to Australia. I'm doing the Brisbane leg of it this weekend at the Brisbane Convention Centre. So any of my Brisbane pals, if you feel like coming along, seeing a bunch of crazy, you know, a lot of skulls, a lot of goth kind of stuff. I've even got taxidermy classes, I believe. What a wild time. And then you get Chris's wrestling art there. I think I kind of fit in, and they allow me to be part of this because of my, like, skeleton cowboy kind of things. So I'll keep doing that. I'm just happy to be there. And then I go on to the next week. I'm in Melbourne for the weekend for the Oddities there. And then the following one after that, I'm in Sydney. So it's going to be a big December. But, you know, I'm going to try to do my best to enjoy it. Also, it's a bit of a life update for you guys. We finalized our purchase of a new property up in Montville, kind of near Mullaney, in hinterland Sunshine Coast area here in Queensland. So we're going to be moving out there. It's going to be a big lifestyle change for me. You know, being a bit more one with nature and, you know, less of the big city life, and being able to focus more on my art is the dream, you know. Gonna have an art shed, and hopefully I'm more productive for you guys. It'll be interesting to look back to see how this changes my art practice. I'm hoping for the better, but we'll see. But yeah, it's a bit of a terrifying lifetime, you know, all the change. I'm kind of terrified of change in some ways. It's a scary thing, but I do feel like this is going to be good for that next chapter in my life, you know? So, yeah, I mainly bring that up so you guys know what's going on, and we'll see how things go on into the future. But very excited. And, yeah, man, we're approaching the end of the year, so you kind of start to look back on the, you know, what we did in 2024, and I'm very proud about what we've been able to do in 2024, you know, like the different art accomplishments, the different commission things that I've gotten to do, the different collaborative sort of things I've gotten to do, and the different new friends that I've made, you know, all these different events that I've done, and meeting and having some amazing chats with different interesting people along the way. I really love doing this because of being able to connect, you know, meeting different artists, doing this podcast, meeting people all over the world in different countries, making friends in different countries. It's a very nice thing. So, you know, I'm grateful to be able to have this podcast, grateful to Social Suplex, and most of all, I'm grateful for you guys who actually somehow decide this is a fun thing for you to listen to. My nonsense, me yammering in your ear for every week. Don't know how you do that, but I appreciate that you do. All right. I think that's been about enough for this little catch-up here. But I'm very excited to chat with Petey. Let's get him on the line and jump on to our Wrestling Art Curator Edition of the show. All right. All right, guys, I'm super stoked. We've finally got another of our Wrestling Art Curator editions, and it's an extra special one to get another returning artist guest. I get so stoked about these, and especially stoked for this one, because today we are back on the show, Lil Petey Puro, aka Gotch Style Bong Rips. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you for having me back, my friend. It's good to hear your voice. It's good to be back.
Yeah, dude, stoked. We've been talking about doing this for a little bit, and you know, sometimes cross world communications, it could take a little while to line up, but we got there, damn it.
Heck yeah, we did.
Yeah, man. You know,
the journey is, what's that phrase? The journey is the destination.
Ooh, I like that. We're going to be waxing philosophical here, I think.
Oh, yeah. All about the philosophical stuff. Philosophy. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for.
Dude, you just asked me when we got on the line what's been happening lately, and I was like, should probably start recording, you know? So, like, right? in answering your question, my life has been bloody topsy-turvy, my friend. I was telling you, like, we just bought a property.
Like, that's so bad. Congratulations again. That's so awesome.
Thank you so much, man. It is just, like, the buying process, this is my first time ever attempting to do this, and it's a stressful ordeal, like a month-long kind of thing of different hoops you have to go through and, like, mortgage approval, and then like something doesn't get done right, so then you have to have reapproval and bloody you know, contracts and, you know, dealing with like a buyer and asking if they're okay to like give you extra time on stuff. And dude, I in no way planned that, you know, this time with nearing the end of 2024 that we would have bought a property. But yeah, sometimes life just surprises you, man. But yeah, it's gonna be a lot of work, but stoked about moving out to the sticks, being a bit more remote, being, you know, closer to nature, and more than anything, like being able to sort of be more focused, and just everything being about art, being in my art shed and yeah, doing the stuff that I wanna do.
Hell yeah, that's what it's all about, honestly, getting to that comfort zone and like being in a like a location where you're just like, you can be one with like your work and just one with yourself, you know, and you're just like a good place to live, like, and be creative is like the greatest thing. Oh. I recently just moved and like I'm like in a similar boat, like I love my little cave. It's so chill.
We're about to, you know.
I'm still in Michigan, but we literally moved like 5 minutes away.
Oh yeah,
just to a nicer little spot. But it's just very nice. I got my cats, you know. I'm chilling.
So good. Yeah, I think there's something to be said about having a nice sort of environment to be able to be in a better headspace. You know, I've lived in a city for quite a while now, like probably my entire adult life. And then like the last probably like 10 years I've been like very much in a city, like sort of, you know, walking distance to the actual city here in Queensland, Brisbane. So I think it's going to be really cool to sort of detach a little bit. I'm a little bit worried that I am maybe going to get stir crazy a little bit, but I'm just gonna try my best to sort of like, you know, focus on the beauty of nature and yeah, like getting in a better headspace and creation and all that good jazz.
Heck yeah
man, but super stoked about everything. Hopefully I don't end up in like, I watched The Shining recently, so hopefully that doesn't happen.
It's funny you say, like, I wouldn't say I live in a city, like, so I live in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which it's like what it's known for pretty much is like the University of Michigan, which is like a pretty big college.
Right.
So It's like kind of city, but you can go like 10 minutes out of the way and you're like in a farm. So it's got a good mix of things. But I find like, because I'm from Connecticut originally, and like I'll go out to New York, and I used to go out when I was younger and love it. But now that I'm like in my 30s, I'm like, it's nice to visit, but I like to be like in my hideaway. Like I feel like there's chapters to life, right? And I
Yes.
think that maybe we're at that, you're at that chapter where it's like, all right, time to be in like peace and quiet of things.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's that life stages kind of thing. I think the only thing I'm mainly gonna miss is I'm like, I really love taking myself out to the movies.
Oh yeah.
Like I do these cult cinema kind of like retro screenings and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'll be a bit sad to be missing out on that, but I'm sure there'll be something that I'll be able to find up there to replace it,
Oh, for sure. I think the convenience factor of a city is always nice. But like being in the local, sometimes being in that where you're a little farther away, like you're gonna have your own property, so you can like make your own movie theater, kinda.
Yeah, for sure,
You know
man.
what I mean? It's like, I remember last time we chatted, we talked about Hunter S. Thompson,
Yes.
and he had his ranch, and he may have been out in nature and everything, but I don't, he had some chaos going on over there. I'm sure he had some sort of movie theater going on for all his debauchery, all his acid trips or whatever else he was
Yeah,
on.
I'm sure we'll be able to set up something along those lines. But yeah, we were up there last weekend, and I got a lot of sort of like nature stuff, in the property. Actually got a koala habitat in this like
Wow.
green kind of area where we're on the back of the property. And yeah, like last weekend we were up there, and I was just like in the afternoon walking through this almost like rainforest. It's like on our property, and I was just it's so excited about it. Like it made me feel so much better from a mental health perspective. But in general, yeah, I was just like so excited about the future, on that kind of stuff.
That's so rad. And it's nice. It sounds like you had like that instant feeling of like, this is it.
I mean, kind of. I hope so. Like, knock on wood, but yeah, it's definitely sort of the thing, like the de-stressor of being in nature that I'm super, super stoked about.
Ooh.
But yeah, I'm actually going up there later today to remove some floorboards, so we'll see what kind of a handyman I am.
Hey, these are the learning stage. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I watched my dad kind of do that with the house that he still lives in to this day, like when he bought it. And I wouldn't say like, he's a handy guy. I like my his dad was handy. And I think like by him taking a hold of that project, like I remember one memory super clear. Like he took up the tile in the kitchen. And he didn't want to hire anybody. He's like, I'm gonna do it myself. He would do it every day after work. And I would go over there after school. And I remember one day he's beating up this tile, he's getting it done, and he like cut his hand on the tile or something like that. And he made like he's a little dramatic about it or something, and like freaked out, bled underneath like on the subfloor and stuff like that. And it's like, that's still there probably to this day. Like, he put his heart and soul into that floor,
Blood, sweat, and tears, dude.
That's it. He did it, He did not, I don't think he did the hardwood floor the next time.
Oh,
He,
man.
but I could be mistaken. He could call me out for that one and be like, I did.
Mean, I feel in no way prepared for this. I mean, I'm gone up, but I might talk to you later. Like, we'll report back to you. I might fall through the bloody floor or something, but just working it out as we go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, we'll find a way, we'll make it
Trial
work.
by fire, right? Isn't that what they say? Like you just
Yeah.
gotta go for it. I mean, you gotta, I feel like you definitely like it's funny, like I worked construction and like in no way in that time did I feel like I was a construction worker, if that makes sense. I was like, yeah, I just show up to work. I wouldn't say I know how to do a bunch of stuff. But then, like, over time, as I've grown older, and I'm just like, oh, that kind of makes more sense now. I remember sort of doing that.
I mean, so much of life is like that, right? Like, even as far as, like, the art stuff and everything, the whole sort of, like, fake it till you make it, like,
no one
really knows what they're doing, and you just kind of work it out along the way.
Oh, yeah, just going for it. It amazes me, like, just, like, seeing what other people can, like, come up with. Like, looking at your stuff really trips me out. Like, I get so stoked because I'm just like, man, these, like, I feel like I'm in these scenes of your, like, drawings and paintings and stuff. And I'm just like, just to be like a fly in the wall of, like, the walls of your art brain, if that makes sense. Like, just to, like,
yeah,
that might be a stretch of a metaphor, but
no.
But, like, seriously.
Oh, man. I adore it. And I feel like, you know, thinking about you, like, we are probably, you know, two of these people where we kind of, like, share a brain with a lot of this stuff. Like, but I'm thinking about this, like, you know, these rabbit holes that we're kind of talking about, this, like, real niche kind of stuff. And, you know, I know that you have that, like, exact same kind of appreciation that I do for it.
Well, that's an honor coming from you, so thank you. But I totally know what you mean. Like, there's so much, right? Like, there's so much wrestling out there.
Yeah.
And, like, there's some things that are just, I don't know, they're just it. They're visually aesthetic in so many ways, like, in the wrestling themselves, in the just a photograph of them, and, like, or a painting or drawing. It just, there's so much more to pro wrestling, right? It's more than just a sport.
Oh, dude. I mean, especially, like, for me as, like, someone with ADD who, you know, I get easily distracted, but at the same time I get, like, so excited and, like, that hyper-focus when I find something that I'm, like, super stoked on. And the beautiful thing about wrestling is, like, the more you go into it, the more it rewards you and it gives you back. For this crazy kind of obsession. So yeah, man, it's like I'll go into these different, like, rabbit holes about it, and, you know, be like, what's happening in, like, the Alabama territory in, like, the 70s or 80s, you know?
Oh my.
But yeah, it's just, like, such a beautiful thing, and, like, the weird and wonderful of it. It's just the
there
best.
Really is. And like you said, you get into the weeds of things and you're like, wow. And there's so many aspects, right? Like, you could look at, like, you know, you could pull back the curtain or you could choose not to pull back the curtain. And either route you take, you're going to be amazed. Like you said, you can look into these old territories or these old, like, look into even the town where you're from and, like, see what wrestling events happen there. Like, there's just so much. And it's funny, like, my partner, she says to me, she's like, you, I can't, like, she doesn't understand how I can watch it, like, all day long. And I'm like, yeah, like, I can't play a video game for more than an hour. Like, I can't. There's some things I just can't, like, do, but pro wrestling, I can have it on all day. And it's just, like you were saying, like, just captivate. Like, I could just sit here and, like, have it on. I got ECW in the background right now. Like,
ooh, sick. What era of ECW are you currently looking at?
So we are at March 3rd, 2000, TNN.
Ooh,
era.
Sick.
Mike Awesome's the champion.
Amazing.
I was watching just the earlier stuff before they were on TNN, and I was like, let me do some deep dive into the TNN stuff. Like, I've skipped around and, like, watched certain things, but, like, do a full, like, watch through.
Oh, dude. Yes.
Just to, like, immerse myself and, like,
yeah, man. Oh,
pretend I was in that time frame.
Yeah, for sure, man. I kind of, like, did the same thing. Like, I went from, I think I started, like, late 94 and went up to, like, late 95, basically trying to watch everything I possibly could.
Yeah.
You know, like, from the weekly, you know, hardcore TV.
Oh, yeah.
To the fan cams, to the Feinstein was recording back in the day, to those, like, special, like, super show kind of ones that they'd release, like the Return of the Funker,
yeah,
or the Sandman or whatever. And it's just such a sick period for the company, dude. Like, such an exciting time, like the birth of really what people kind of, like, connected with of that anti-establishment ECW.
Oh, awesome.
You know, like, so the birth of Raven and Raven's Nest, and the feud with, like, Tommy Dreamer, and then the Sandman, and bloody, oh, man, so much incredible stuff.
Oh, yeah. My personal favorite, Mikey Whipwreck.
Oh, yeah, and Mikey's tag team with Sandman. Mikey.
With Scorpio, right?
Yeah, Mikey and Cactus.
Yeah, Cactus and Mikey. My favorite.
Yeah, I adore that period.
As do I. That's actually where I was reading. I went on a vacation and brought the ECW... the biography, not the one that WWE put out, but it was the other. I'm drawing a blank on what the name of it is, but you see, I read it on vacation. I was like, I gotta start this from the top. So I like have been jumping around, and it's just so good. Actually, my first ever live pay-per-view I watched was the first ECW One Night Stand.
Oh, amazing show.
Yeah, I was in sixth grade. It was like the first time my mom let me like sleep over someone's house, like on a school night and stuff. Here's the name of the book I was reading. The Hardcore History, an Extremely Unauthorized Story of ECW.
Oh.
Definitely a solid read.
Nice. Excellent. You just adore everything about ECW. It's funny you say 2000 ECW, because just for the wrestling club, I was watching this sick match from like April 2000, I want to say, Hardcore TV. Sick match for Misato Tanaka and Too Cold Scorpio.
Awesome.
So good.
Oh, wow. I'm getting there, because I'm in March right now. So, yeah, I will be slowly approaching that very soon.
So good. The only thing that like breaks my heart when you watch some of this stuff is a lot of those matches for the TV versions are just like clipped to all hell.
So
they like cut out certain bits. And I mean, I guess that's like the nature of the show, but it just breaks my heart when it's like, I want to soak up every single possible moment of Masato Tanaka versus Too Cold Scorpio. Like, why is this not like released in full form somewhere?
Oh, it's totally, and it's so, and it's crazy. Like, to your point, you're saying like trying to put yourself in the moment, like doing these like rewatches and stuff. One of the hardest things I think is like putting the phone down, like making sure your phone is down so you really can watch and like take it in. And you like you said, you notice things like they're like, man, why aren't they showing the full match and things like that? I feel like it just goes to show like what the want was in that time era.
Yeah.
Like it's funny in like 99, 2000, like especially in ECW, like it is a lot of clip stuff. And you're like, man, wouldn't you? Like, I'm sure a lot of people like want to see the full versions, but I mean, I feel like those super smart fans were there like in the ECW arena or like would follow ECW around because it's such a different time.
Oh dude, that is my ultimate dream. Like if I could have been there in the ECW arena with those other maniacs, like some of those summer shows where you can see everyone's just like sweating their tits off, dudes who are just there like shirtless, like front rows, like such a vibe.
Yeah,
that's so hard.
It does, and it's just like, yeah, it's awesome. Just like you see the photographers too, like everyone has a camera, right? And like I'd love to see some of those photos. Like there's probably some unearthed like fan cam photography from some of those ECW shows that are just amazing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, sometimes you do see like those pictures from those photographers like pop up somewhere, and it's just so cool to see, like so inspirational too.
Yeah, it really is. It was just like right before all the change, right before the camera on the cell phone.
Yeah.
Really changed the game for everybody.
Yeah man, it sucks. But I mean, I guess there are some people where we are making an effort to try to be more in the moment, to try to actually appreciate things then and there, to not be like, you know, on a phone all the time.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's you have to find those things, right? Because like, that's the beauty of life. Like, it's not on the phone, and it's, you know, it's easier said than done sometimes, right? Like,
yeah,
you get there's so many flashy colors on the phone, and there's a picture of my cat as the background. But like, you know, being in the moment is very important, and like, reminding yourself of that, like putting the phone away, putting on like a movie you really like, or like watching your favorite wrestling, and like really watch that match and be like, yeah, this is why I love this.
Yeah,
I love watching.
Like, don't be, you know, like watching this match and then like looking at your phone and all the down moments and stuff.
Oh yeah, because when you start doing that, then you just miss everything, right? Because you're get caught up in this, that, and everything else, and then the finish happens and you're like, what happened?
Yeah, I sometimes catch myself doing that, dude, and I hate it so much.
Ah, me too. Like I said, it's easier said than done, like, but like, I feel like wrestling is one of those things that it's like, yeah, or having something like wrestling, it's so good to be like, ah, yes, I can put it away, I can engage.
Yeah. It's like, there's an element of wrestling that I think is kind of almost like meditative, you know, like, I find it a lot when I'm watching like still my favorite, you know, current promotion in Noah, and you know, so much of Noah is like this more simplistic, like it's just more basic in a way, I guess. I don't know, like, you know, especially some of the smaller shows that they run. And it's almost like, you know, I think last time we spoke about stoicism, right? And it's almost like Noah is built on stoicism. So when I'm watching it, I'm sort of like feeling that vibe like the fans are, you know? And I feel like a relaxation from the process of watching it. And I love that so much.
Oh, totally. So you watch the current Noah product?
Yeah, yeah. It gets a lot of flack, but I love it.
Oh yeah, hell yeah. It does. No, yeah, I keep up with it. I had a Wrestle Universe account for a little bit, and honestly, this last Magic Monday made me want to like resubscribe and get back into it, because like, I'm a big Nasawa fan, and like you said, like, I love what they got going on. They do have that like the simpleness to it, and like, I don't know. It's exciting to see what's going on over there. I'm just excited on Japanese wrestling in general. Like, I'm just so blown away by anything that's going on, whether it's New Japan, Noah, Glee, DDT. Like, I don't know. I always get so stoked. So I can totally relate to what you're talking about. Because Noah really, like, I feel like Noah helped me fall in love with pro wrestling.
Oh,
even
dude.
Harder than like I get, like you said, there is just, I don't know, the Masawa vibe, you know. He, I feel like it's so like, I love watching like 2005 era Noah is so good.
Oh man, I was just talking to my buddy Joe at Wrestling Club last night about that period. And like that insanely great Kobashi versus Kensuke match at the Tokyo Dome with the greatest chop off in the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
So magical.
Gosh. I love Kobashi versus Suzuki around that time as well. That's one of my probably top five favorite matches. Like, that is just, Kobashi is special, and like,
That one actually takes place during that Kobashi incredible, like, greatest title run of all time, when he was it was like a defense of the Jiu-Jitsu Heavyweight Championship against Suzuki, right?
It was, yes, and it was like Suzuki, like, he was attacking the arm, I'm pretty sure, the whole match, and I think it was the arm, but yeah, you know, Suzuki's just working him over the whole match. And then, you know, Kobashi comes back and he's just Kobashi, man. You know, he just beats the piss out of him. Suzuki has his last, you know, those beautiful selling last stands where he's like, he's smacking at him, still acting like he's got a little bit left in the tank. But Kobashi's, you know, Kobashi. That, beautiful time.
Oh man, absolutely. And I'm the same, like that love for Noah, for that amazing stuff. Like I remember those early years, like I actually got like the VHSs in the mail of some sort of like the early years of Noah, like all the early big moments kind of deal, like of when you know, Akiyama was sort of like first position as like the ace of Noah. And man, just so much nostalgia, so much amazing wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And it just, man, Noah will always be like all time for me. Very, very special, you know, because of that, because of those memories, you know.
There's just something, I think, especially at the time, right? Like you look back and what was it, 2000 when they started? And, you know, they had the mass exodus from all Japan. And like, I don't know, there's a lot of emphasis. I mean, you look at Ogawa, you know, being a world champion pretty soon as them,
yes,
you know, starting. Like, he was a junior heavyweight turned world.
Yeah, he was, dude. Like, he, yeah, that was actually a thing I remember at the time that was buried too, right?
Right.
Like, you know, he went on to honestly become one of my favorite wrestlers to watch in Noah. You know, he's his more recent stuff. Bloody sneaky rat boy, amazing technical wrestler. And yeah, it's like, it's so cool thinking back for him to get that moment, you know, that moment to win the title from Misawa of all people. And he was bloody jacked too.
He was, yeah. I kind of looked him up at that time. But he was, oh man. But like you said, they did bury it, huh? In the time.
Yeah, there's bullshit. Like, I mean, the same, like, we see now, there's so much of, like, Western wrestling media or whatever, and, like, all these people that dogged bloody Taoway for all those years.
Oh, my God.
And only now people are, like, coming around to being, like, actually, Taoway is incredible.
It's so funny you say that, because I was talking with a couple of my buddies today about how people, like, a lot of, like, American wrestling fans, like, base their opinions on, like, what Dave Meltzer said. And it's like, that dude's kind of a loser, man. He's like, I don't know, like, that's my opinion, right? Like, if you are a huge fan of him, like, good. If you get joy, that's sick. But, like, you know, I believe that you should watch the wrestling on your own and develop your own opinions, right? Don't just be like, well, Dave said this. I don't give a shit. Like, go watch the show. Like, goddamn. Like, have your own opinions, right?
Exactly.
Like,
I think you're absolutely right in that. So I am still a Wrestling Observer subscriber. I have been for, I want to say, like, 20 years. So I've given Dave a lot of money over the years. But I think you're 100% right. Like, I think there's a lot of ways sometimes where you know, maybe the takes that Dave's has, or his you know, opinions that are sort of really presented as fact or whatever, that I just don't have time for, you know. And it can be such a limiting, narrow view of professional wrestling. And, you know, I think it kind of, it sucks, and it can take away from the fun of it.
Oh, I agree.
And I think that, like, it's like what you're saying. We should all just appreciate what we want and find that out for ourselves. I really love, like, Dave's historical write-ups and, like, obituaries and things like that, but I'm not paying for that subscription for his current takes and star ratings of AEW and stuff like that.
Right, yeah. Not to knock AEW or knock any wrestling promotion at that. Like, that's everyone's opinion, you know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, it's funny, like, I like his website. I like the Wrestling Observer. I'll go there and check out for news. Like, I had it up on my, like, work computer every day for, like, a year, because it's a good place to get news. But I'm not taking his opinions for what they're worth, you know, because I watch the shows myself. But yeah, I think it's a great outlet to have. Like, not knocking him at all, but.
Oh yeah, they just put too much weight, you know, into it's his opinion at the end of the day. I mean, he might present it as more than that sometimes, but whatever. Like, I think it's what you're saying. People need to use that, you know, maybe use that as a step off point, and then, you know, just be more about the positivity, you know. But hate, like, wrestling Twitter so much for all the negativity. Like, can't we just be jazzed about stuff and just celebrate, like, how jazzed we are and how cool something is?
100%. Like, because you know, if it brings that person joy, then it brings them joy. Like, and everyone's into wrestling for different reasons. Like, there's so many different characters, right? Like, that's why, like, anyone can be a wrestling fan, from, like, someone who's into, well, I don't know, like, a chess player, perhaps. Like, they could really like wrestling because there's this, because they like Dean Douglas, Shane Douglas's teacher character. It's like, I like him. I like characters like that. I like Matt Stryker, right? Or then you like, you get the skater dude who's like, no, Darby Allin, dude. Like, he skates with Tony Hawk. And it, like, it can cross these different bridges, especially in today's time, where it's like, yeah, you can, everyone come celebrate pro wrestling, because there's something for everybody.
Oh yeah. And I mean, you especially, like, you think about it from, like, the art, you know, perspective of it, because, you know, for me, I, you know, that's what I try to do with my art. I try to celebrate these cool things, you know, these matches that I think are sick, or and I really love getting to, you know, if I'm somehow responsible for shining a light onto something that someone, some rabbit hole someone might not have known about, and someone gets into it and they, like, look at it, some more CMLL or retro lucha or some obscure Japanese stuff, and they're like, this goes hard. Or, you know, more than anything, if people get not a bloody Terry Funk, man,
heck yeah.
All the love for Terry, always.
Honestly, like, it, because, yeah, it's just what makes you happy. Like, I want to make art and draw things that make me happy, and I can put their matches on and be like, heck yeah. Like, it's so hard to, like, I feel like when I try to be up with the times, you know, like, making art to be like, make a current event thing, right? Like, some things work out where I'm passionate about it and, like, it is a current event. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you try to chase the current events, you're just like, oh man, I'm gonna go back and draw Terry Funk again because I need to be happy. Or, like, you know, just something to stoke you out.
It's funny you say that. I was just talking, to someone at the wrestling club thing last night about that, and might have been Brad, but yeah, I was saying, yeah, like, with the match of the week thing, like, I just get to pick whatever, you know. It's just my favorite match that I happen to watch that week. So sometimes it might be current, sometimes it might be, all right, this week we're doing Terry Funk versus Stan Hansen. It's,
yeah, that's so awesome.
It's just, it is what it is. That's always fun.
Yeah, that, I love your match of the week, because, like you said, you switch it up, like, and it's, you never know which direction we're going to go. And I think it's one of my favorite things to do. Also, I wanted to, like, the wrestling club thing you've been doing is so sick to see.
Oh,
like,
thanks, dude.
I wish I was out there. That'd be so, that's so rad.
Like, I wish you could be out here, dude. Like, I wish you could be a part of these. Like, we said last time, you know, the podcast, I think I said to you afterwards, if we live in the same city, we'll be best friends.
100%. I 100% agree with you. I, like, yeah, it's just so rad to see what you got going on out there. Like, I feel like since the last time we talked, like, you have been doing so much, and, like, especially, like, getting people together and, like, having camaraderie around, like, pro wrestling, and, like, you're getting people together through pro wrestling, and I think that's so awesome. Like, that is some good shit, man.
Thank you so much, dude. I think it's been such a nice thing to be able to sort of build a community around that. And yeah, we've, you know, just had our fifth event I guess we've been doing this for like around 6 months or so, like once a month at different bars and stuff. And it's just been so nice to sort of like build a group of regulars who now, you know, they know one another, and it's sort of like the community element, just so sick. Like we did a trivia sort of like part of it last night, and we went around the room and people answered like these trivia questions and shit, and it's just so cool to see everyone like jiving and getting along together and, you know, bonding over something like wrestling. And yeah, like aside from being able to hang out and watch bad wrestling and drink tasty beers, like it's honestly that side of it that really jazzes me up.
Oh, 100%. It's like, yeah, getting it's funny being on that like-minded plane of like you're all in that one place and you're all for like the same reason. Like you're all there to watch pro wrestling, talk pro wrestling. Like it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I had a similar experience like with my Instagram. Mm. I know it's a little different, but like I used to have my personal one, like since I was like out of high school type deal. Like it was me, and like I kind of hated that. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like I like created one, like one specifically for like collecting my wrestling stuff, because I was like, oh, people don't want to see my like my wrestling collecting stuff, so I'll have my own Instagram and just follow wrestling stuff. And that's the Gotch Style Bong Rips. Like I've since deleted my whole personal account because like I love the camaraderie of all the wrestling fans and all the people I get to like see or interact with, and like yourself, and like meet online and be like, wow, we're all bonded through this one thing. It makes the world feel like a smaller place.
It's incredible when you think about it.
It really is. Like talk to someone from all over the, like just one little app, you're able to chat with all these people who have the same passion as you. And that's a beautiful thing. Like I feel like social media like is used for such negative stuff, and like Twitter, like I don't have any of that type deal because it's like people just writing their opinions and stuff, and like I don't know, mad negative stuff. And like it's nice to have a place where like wrestling Instagram where it's just wrestling, you know. You want to see someone just posting about the territory days, you can find that. A lot of people, that's all they want to talk about, and it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, so much. It's like you want to just go and find some old Terry photos or like memorabilia or whatever, but oh man, it just makes me happy. Oh, that Crimson Mask replica page, dude, I love that so much.
Oh my gosh, yes, his page is so good. So good. Speaking of him, that kind of leads into kind of a little something that I was doing some art for since the last time we talked. And Crimson Mask Replica is late night wrestling podcast. Crimson Mask Replica is one of the voices on there. And I did some art for that podcast as well.
Oh, shit.
But
rad.
Definitely check it out. There's a lot of like internet wrestling friends. Mr. Green Mist, I don't know if you follow him. He does the weekly wrestling potluck on Twitch. He is a voice on there as well. Yeah, it's a very, very, very dope. It's how do I describe it? It's like a fictional wrestling show. And Matt Wasong, the creator, he's cooking right now. I'll say that because don't want to give anything away, but it is very good. It cracks me up. I'll be listening to it at work, and it's just it's good shit. I don't want to give too much away, but definitely check out the Late Night Wrestling podcast because it is very good.
Have I seen you? You've done a couple episodes of that?
So I've done some drawing with it, but I will be doing the voice of Jack West.
Ooh.
So that's soon to come. He is yet to speak.
Okay.
But yeah, that's Late Night Wrestling.
So how can people find the details of this? What are we searching for on the podcast platform, or is it on other places?
So it's on Spotify and Apple Music. And I personally listen on Spotify. And if you're searching on Spotify, just type in Late Night Wrestling. It has a beautiful 5-star review.
Ooh, lovely.
And 18 episodes. A new one just dropped today, actually.
Oh my. Dang, everyone get along to that.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But yeah, man, I'm stoked to see the different stuff that you've been doing, like in terms of the podcast artwork or like the different, like, looks like indie kind of like wrestling show stuff that you've been posting. Like,
yeah.
How did that stuff come along?
Honestly, I feel like, honestly, the first time we, our first chat really was like the start of everything for me.
What?
Like, after that first podcast came out, things kind of just started trickling in.
Dude.
And and it really kind of just took off from there. But the first, I feel like right after we chatted, I'm looking back, Labor of Love, they're a promotion out of Philadelphia. They reached out to me to do a flyer for them and do match graphics and stuff. And that really set it off for me. I got to do match graphics for a cheeseburger, which was super sick because I love me some cheeseburger.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the main event of that show.
Sick, man.
And like Hollow Wicked.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. I got it up here now. The main event was Cheeseburger versus Hollow Wicked.
Love it.
And then Ultimo Ant, Worker Ant had a match against each other. Drew Gulak showed up.
Seeing your stuff for the ants made me like real happy, dude. Because I used to love Shakara and the Colony. And your style just works so well for the ant masks. I dig it so much, dude.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I felt like it felt right, like, because it was like very Shakara themed, and like, as we talked about last time, I'm a huge Eddie Kingston fan, and like his past with Shakara, I was just like, holy crap, like it's so cool to like be able to draw some like Shakara affiliated guys, like, yes, for my first like big commission.
It's so good, man.
And like, it was, and I felt right. It felt cool, and just very stoked. And then from there, it's just been like a little bit here, a little bit there. I actually just did my, like, I'd say like the most popular wrestler of commission for, I'll keep that under wraps a little bit. But yeah, I designed a graphic for them that they're going to be, that they are putting on a t-shirt.
Dude.
And they're a wrestler who lives internationally and wrestles internationally as well. So pretty stoked.
So good, man. That's so nice. And I know what it's like when you're doing something cool, but you have to, you know, keep it a secret or whatever until it's officially released. But
yeah,
man, I am waiting with bated breath on that. So good. Congrats, dude.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. It's so cool just to like we said last time, like, to contribute to the chaos, like, to have someone like want, like, be interested in your art like that, and it, like, to be able to help them out. And like, that's why I really like doing stuff for like independent wrestlers, because, like, you know, I love the independence, right? And like,
oh, yeah,
especially if someone's like a newer wrestler or like someone who's like one of their first few shirts or something like that. Like, I'd love to be a part of, like, you know, their journey.
Dude, yes. This, man, I have so much love for independent wrestling, you know, going all the way back to this early days of ROH when they're still like an actual independent company. But yeah, it's super cool getting to sort of like, you know, watch someone grow and you know, become like a massive star eventually. But to be part of that ride, that's badass.
Being able to like know before they get there, right? Like, before Nick Wayne got on AEW TV, like, oh, well, he was on GCW, all this, or like Brian Keith, like following him, and then he got, you know, the AEW contract wrestling Eddie King on TV. You're just like, holy crap, like, this is awesome. Like, it's rad to see people's journeys, especially when you're like a big fan of theirs and you're like, damn, this is awesome.
Oh yeah, and I am such a fan of Brian Keith. I wish that dude all the success in the world.
Oh, he's so good.
It blows me away that you said that there's like a change and you're getting to do like this stuff coming in after our last chat.
I think so. I feel like that was the tipping point for me. Like, that really, it's one of those things where, like, manifesting. Like, when we chatted, I was like, if anyone has any wants any work done, I think I threw that out in the universe, and people, you know, I think when you want something, you like, you work for it, and it, I don't know, I think I manifested it in a little bit of a way. But, you know, our chat was definitely the tipping point for me, for sure.
Dude, that is incredible.
And it was just a huge, like, it was a confidence booster just to, like, to even reach out to want to chat. Like, that made me feel really good. Like, so.
Oh, dude, my pleasure. Honestly, like, getting to chat with you that first time and just getting to connect was such a treat for me. And, you know, getting to exchange passions and I obviously adore your stuff and like your unique visual style and like bringing in a bit of that sort of like skate art kind of like element to and the lowbrow kind of stuff as well to the wrestling art. I just jive with it so much. So my pleasure to be able to you know, just chop it up with you, man.
Oh, it's an honor just to be like to be part of the show. Like, I'm saying, I'm like a huge fan of yours. Like, even before like we chatted the first time, like, such a huge fan of your artwork and helped me get like back into art. Like, seeing your stuff and like, yeah, just the how we can bond over the same stuff. Like you're saying before, the world is like smaller than we think when there's like when you have the same passion, and that's super rad.
Yeah, man. I would love to do something in the future. I hope, like, we could collaborate on something or have some sort of project where we could line something up where we could do something together. I don't know what that would look like, but that would be my honor to be able to do something like that.
Ah, it would be mine as well. We gotta start plotting. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, man. All right. This is something that'll be in the pipeline, but I don't know what it's going to look like, but we're going to do something.
We're going to do something, damn it. That's right.
Oh, man. So what is your average week looking like at the moment when it comes to making the art and you know, drawing and wrestling consumption and then mixing that with real life these days?
Oh, man. So I work a 40-hour a week job, so like I'm up at 5 in the morning most day, like every day pretty much. Like this, like for this morning, for example, like I'm up at like 5, I'm feeding the cats, and luckily the World Tag League is going on for New Japan. So, and as a New Japan World subscriber, I pop that on right in the morning. Get to watch a little wrestling before I go to work, which always is like the sickest, especially when it's like G1 time and like you have these sick matches going on. It's like, all right, I'm off to work, I am juiced. Like, just saw something sick. Like, I was watching like Eddie in the G1 and then going to work right after, and I'd have the best day. I'm like, I just saw Eddie Kingston in the G1 before I even went to work. What's up?
So what could go wrong? It's such a good way to start the day. I do the same, and sometimes I have to like stop myself because I'll like watch one thing and then it'll lead to wanting to watch another. I have to be a bit more like rigid because I'm working from home. It's not like I have to, you know, go in at a certain time, so I have to stop myself at a certain point. But you're right, nothing better than during that time, especially during like something you have to keep up with, of just that being a good like little positive to your day.
yeah, a little pick me up, and you're just like, heck yeah, let's go for it. I actually got we just had Thanksgiving this past week, so I had a few days off from work, and I really got a lot of, I was just home, like stayed home, watched wrestling a lot, and just got a lot of like drawing done.
Excellent.
And I was like, it was really nice, like all the stuff like I've been posting this past week, I got done like during those few days, and it's like, so this past week I've been like kind of chilling. I've been like kind of getting my ideas in order for what I want to kind of do next, and like just doodling around. But yeah, when I have a few days, like I'm just like, nice, I can really get some work done.
Dude, it's incredible looking at that. Like your output, especially this last like couple weeks, has been pretty crazy. Like you're posting something every day or couple days. So is that sort of like you do it in sort of like a batch and then you kind of like release it in trickle form, or does it just vary?
I don't know. So like this past one, it's been like a batch. I have like, how many more do I have in said batch? I'd say I have two more. I got like the last three that I posted, the Texas Broncos.
So good.
Oh, I was very hyped on that.
That brought me so much joy to see, and it just made me want to watch like some Funk Brothers wrestling immediately.
Oh yeah, I thank you. I love all the old like Funk Brothers, like the Texas Broncos, man, just how big they were in that time is just like, it's so rad. And to watch those old matches, and especially like watching the Funks versus Brody and Hanson, you're just like, holy shit, like the crowd is hot for this.
Molten.
Like, they are beating the piss out of each other, like, and you know, like it's crazy because like they're all from Texas, like they all know each other and stuff, and they're just beating the piss, just buddies in another country beating the piss out of each other, and you're just like, it's so good. And
some of the like, best punches you ever will see as well.
Oh yeah, that, people don't punch like that anymore. It's so good.
Oh, such a lost art. Yeah, it's like the, I was talking to Joe the other day about that Stan Hansen versus Terry, their first singles match. And it's that exact same thing, just two Texan boys, just wilding. And yeah, the Funk's like connection with the crowd, man, it's just a real special time in wrestling. Like, I love me some 90s All Japan, but watching this like more retro stuff is just such a joy.
It's so crazy seeing the difference, right, of like, you have the 90s All Japan, right, the King's Road stuff. But the beauty of like that 81, when for me it's 81 to 83, like Terry announcing his retirement. And I, yeah, that's probably just me being selfish of being a Terry Funk fan. But like I can put any one of those matches on. It's just like, hope, like it's a special, it was special for sure. Like you mentioned the Stan Hansen and Terry match. My personal, I was telling a buddy this yesterday. One of my favorite Funk matches is Terry versus Bruiser Brody from that time. And Hanson comes out and he starts like beating up Funk, and like they're both beating the piss out of him. And then Dory makes the save. And it's just like, it's so good. And they just like,
they're probably setting up some sort of like tag that they've got coming up. And like none of this stuff has like really clean finishes, that's like just part of it, but you get these incredible like just cluster finishes of like this run in and that run in and just a chaos, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah, and it's funny, like you get the Russo run in 2000, but the 1983 run in, no, that's a different type of run in right there. People complain about Russo in 2000, but you see a Baba run in, you're like, wow, Baba knows what he's doing.
That's how it's meant to be done. And it makes you, like, want to see the next match. Like, after that, the ending to the Stan Hansen-Terry match, I was just like, dude, this, whatever is the next chapter of this, I need to see. I am invested.
Oh, 100%. And it's funny you mentioned, like, seeing a certain finish a certain way. Like, I was listening to the Sandman podcast, which you did the dope art for.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
That is so rad. I've been listening to them a good amount lately, and they were talking about like how the Impact players have their finish, specifically at like the One Night Stand pay-per-view, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Just the simple like tag partner comes in and whacks the shit out of the guy, and you just make the pin. Like when you see them do it, you're like, hell yeah, I could see that all day. Like I was saying, I've been watching ECW on TNN. Primetime players or Impact players, I'm sorry. They're all over that.
Like, super underrated team. That's another one. Like, you know, people gave just incredible shit during that time, but I love the Impact players, dude. I thought that run was so much fun. And especially like watching all those 2000 DVDs, like such a cool act.
The catchphrase is a little interesting. Like Lance Storm just bringing up Canada is a little random. And then just incredible just saying his name. I'm like, you guys could have came up with something else. But other than that, I got nothing bad to say about him. That's just my one thing with that. I'm like, what? What is he talking about? First he says where he's from, and the other guy says his name. Like, whatever.
Hey, it was over.
It was over, yeah. But you know, in 2024, you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's one of the best bits where you like watch stuff now, and you're just like, how was that nonsense so over? Like, say with any like Conan that I'm seeing in WCW,
oh, yeah.
And like his like Arriba La Raza, like,
oh, let me speak on this. Like, shut Conan, gotta be cool, calm, and collected.
So I do absolutely adore that bit where he's like talking about basically getting in lines about eating ass like on national TV. Incredible.
Oh yeah, Ray does something like that too. He's saying some wild shit with his mask off, and you're just like, you need to chill out, bud.
Calm down, Ray. Ray.
Yeah, Ray. Ray, calm down. He was pretty over without that mask on, I tell you what.
Another cool, interesting period. I honestly remember I was such a Filthy Animals fan from that period, man.
Oh, gosh. It's funny you to go back to, like, watching something for yourself. One of the tapes that I grew up on and was New Blood Rising.
Oh, yeah. I ordered that pay-per-view. I watched that live.
Hell yeah. Were you pissed or did you enjoy yourself?
There were some highlights, some points I enjoyed. Like, I remember really digging getting that, what was the match they had in Canada? It was like Lance and somebody.
Oh, Lance and Mike, awesome.
Yeah, and they had like, was it Jacques? No. Was it Jacques Rougeau?
I think so. The Mountie kept coming out. And
yeah.
He went through like three. That was a clusterfuck, but that was such a funny match of like, That pay-per-view had everyone. David Arquette came back.
Yeah, it was a wild show in hindsight.
The Great Muta won the tag belts.
Oh, dude, I love that team of Muta and Vamp. And another guy where, like, not that popular, a lot of people say he's not a very good worker. I was such a Vampiro fan from this period. I just thought he was cool as fuck.
He was the Juggalo representative on cable, which was very sick.
He was my introduction point to the Misfits as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember seeing that he was involved with the Misfits, and I was like, these guys are cool. And then I got the album that they had out around that time. Like, I think it was like the one they released in 99, something around that period. And I was like, this is like some of the coolest music I ever did see. And then I ended up becoming such a Misfits fan out of that. I got like the crimson ghost tattoo here. One of my first awesome tatties.
They're number four on my Spotify Wrapped thing. I've listened to the Misfits a lot. I found them through skate videos, the Toy Machine video specifically.
Nice.
But yeah, I absolutely. Who was the? It wasn't Danzig, was it? Who was the lead singer at the time?
That was it Graves?
Yeah, I think so. He was jacked, or no, the guitarist or something is super jacked.
Yeah. And he was like one of the main ones that was doing the wrestling stuff with WCW. He had like a match against bloody Steve Williams, didn't he?
Something. Didn't he have a cage match or something like that? Like something wild.
Yeah. Insane.
There's a lot of members of the Misfits. Like past members and. Oh, was Jerry Only the lead?
Yeah. Jerry Only after. Carl Graves left, then we got the Jerry Only version where there was some fun stuff there, but I reckon it's either the two high points of the Misfits are either the OG Danzig days or like that 90s Graves stuff is pretty sick too.
Yeah, I you know, Jerry Only, he's okay, but yeah, you're right, Danzig is the that era is that it's it for sure. But I can play. I can listen to some Jerry Only. I'll give him his flowers. Yeah. He was a Misfit.
I saw them. The only time was I've got to see the Misfits in person when they came out here and toured. It was the Jerry Only headlined version of the Misfits, and those gigs were sick.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I'd be pretty hyped.
I still would love to get to see the full reunited version with Danzig back in tow if they ever come out to Australia.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, man. This has been a wild chat. We've gone all over the place here.
It has. I was going to say, it's just two buddies having a chat. It was awesome.
This is the most wandering journey, I think, of a podcast I've done so far. And I'm here for it, man. I've had so much fun.
Hell yeah, me too, my friend.
Those last few pieces that you did, I, like, again, we talk about being on opposite sides of the world, but just having, like, the Dump Matsumoto and Bull Nakano piece that you did, I just, like, during, the not this one, but one of the previous wrestling clubs had, like, a tag match of theirs against the Jumping Bomb Angels. And man, their vibes were so amazing. Just the entrance, the whole thing. Such a fan. When I saw that artwork of yours, and you captured that like just cool as fuck vibe so well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Some badass ladies, and especially with like the Netflix show and everything. I was just like, I had to do it. And I asked. I had I was at work one day, and I put asked like who would people want to see me draw, and someone did say Dump, so I was like okay, and then I saw Dump that picked this picture of Dump and Bull, and I was just like yep, they are so sick.
Oh, I highly recommend everyone check out like as many of their tag matches as you can find, and then one of the ones I always have to be secretive, but one of those at some point I'll have to play at a future wrestling club. There's an amazing singles match between Dump and Bull from that period where it's like, you know, partners face off. It rules so hard.
That's the best. I love a good partners face off. Like, it's recently, Violence is Forever just did that at Bloodsport.
Nice.
It was a quick little fun match, but it's always good to see, you know, two buddies wrestle it out because you know they're going to be stiff. You know, it's going to be a good match. And yeah. Definitely is a
it's travesty. Always someone who you're the most familiar with, who you're buds with, who you will go way harder with than someone that you don't know that well.
Oh, 100%, because you have that trust.
Yeah. You're like, hey, if I nail him a bit hard with this punch, I know they're just going to like give it back. It's all good. We're still buddies in the end.
Yeah, 100%.
I also adore this Steve Corino piece that you did. That again, just captures Corino's vibe so well. I think you'd probably know my favorite part of it. These like vertical gig marks. Incredible.
I recently, so before when we chatted last, I was doing all my stuff by like, I would draw like things on paper, then take a picture of it and like kind of digitize it and like turn it into like an Instagram post. But I recently started using an iPad, and it really definitely changed the game a little bit.
Yeah.
When it came to things like just quickly changing like the thickness or something like that. And like, yeah, just messing around with the iPad, a different media. And like I learned how to do like I don't know. I like adding little lines into things, or just little squiggles, and like, how can I enhance said squiggle? Or like, how many little lines can I add to this one long line? Or something like that.
I can see what you're talking about, because like those the gig mark lines are significantly more of a thickness than the other lines, so it brings that real prominence to it as like a feature point.
Yeah, I think I figured it's like when I drew Sabu, because I think I drew a larger ECW thing when I got the iPad, because I was just like, because it was my girlfriend Kirsten, she's like, she wasn't using it as much. I was like, can I use this? And she's like, yeah, of course. And like, yeah, thank you to her, because it really helped change like the game, where I was in the airport drawing, or like, yeah, just having that ability where I don't like, I don't get me wrong, I love pen and paper, but you know, look, I would carry to work with me these huge like 2-inch folders just filled with like my reference pages and just like my drawing pages, and you know, it's nice just to have to carry around an iPad now.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, anything that makes it easier for you to just at any moment whip something out and start drawing, you know, I think there's something that's really important to be said about that. Like, I think some of my best stuff that I do hasn't happened in my studio. It's happened when I'm at a cafe and I have two barking dogs and I'm just trying to like quickly squiggle up something in the then and there in the moment.
Yeah, there's something about the like the rush, or like the excitement of like an idea and like bringing that idea to fruition. Because it's really like, it's one thing to like force yourself to do something, right? Like, all right, I want to do this. But like when you have that quick, like, ooh, this idea works. Like the Fujiwara and the cat idea that just came to me that one time, like we talked about that.
So good. Just
so stoked on the like an idea, and you're like, I gotta make this happen. And those I feel like are the best projects. Like I have to, part of me, like I love chasing that cool, like that the high of an idea like that. But I also feel like I have to like slow down a little bit, you know, and spend a little more time on things, or like do a larger scale project while I still do like quick small things or stuff like that.
Yeah, it's important to change it up.
Yeah, it's yeah, I feel like I had a little writer's block a few months ago, and then like honestly asking what people would want, like when I a few weeks ago when I asked people on Instagram, like, what would you want to see? Like, just hearing what people would say, like a good one I heard was your favorite match. And it was more of like, it just, something clicked in my head again. It's like, why don't I just go, like, just things that get me stoked.
Yeah.
Like, just like, and Travis, oh, what's his last, I'm drawing a blank on his last name. You had him as a guest.
Yeah. Travis
Thornton.
Yeah.
Amazing artist. He recently did the little characters for Weekly Pro Wrestling. I see, like, he did the redraw of that, and I was like, I haven't done a redraw in so long, like, and got me hyped to like want to do that again, like go on the Tuticon website and like look through pamphlets and stuff and be like, or event flyers, and be like, oh yeah, I can recreate something with this, or just getting the idea from like pro wrestling, like pro wrestling merchandise in particular, really definitely gets me hyped. And I'm like, oh yeah, look at that, we could do something like that.
Yeah, it's sometimes I have to try not to get too into that, because then it'll almost be like I'm just doing someone else's art kind of deal. But I think inspiration wise it's so good. But yeah, man, it looks like lately you've definitely just been having fun with what you're doing, and that comes out in it when you're looking at it.
I definitely have been having like fun, just like thing I'm looking at, like the past few things I've drawn up, and I'm like, just the feelings I had doing them, like, I just hyped. Like, the Texas Broncos one, the redraw kind of the, and the one thing that I do like, to your point, like, I have the same feeling, like, it's hard to be like, oh, that is someone else's something, right? Like, I feel like a plagiarist, you know? I don't want to take someone else's thing, but it's a good exercise, right? And it can help you, like, expand your mind and, like...
Oh, for sure. And, I mean, the way you do it, I wouldn't in any way say it's just copying someone else's art, because you're bringing, like, a completely different, distinct style to it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, because that means a lot, because that's, like, it's something, like, I always hope to do, right? Like, I never would want to, like, bite someone's shit, you know? Like, I'm inspired by people's stuff, don't get me wrong, but, like, I would never, like, blatantly be like, take someone's... It's like a main reason why, like, it's hard for me to, like, make my own shirt right now. It's like, I don't want to make a Terry Funk shirt and, like, make money off a guy like his name. So I'm like, you know what I mean? Like,
such a weird one, man. Like, the whole idea of a wrestler likeness that and profiting off of it kind of thing. And then especially, like, the world of, like, indie wrestlers who, you know, need every you know, dollar they can.
Right.
But if you're doing something that's just, like, a loving ode, you know, I don't know, man. It's such a weird one. I sometimes catch myself where I'm like, oh, you know, is this, you know, right? Or could I get in trouble for this? Or, you know, WWE going to come after me if I, you know, do this likeness that they have someone under a Legends deal of? Or it's a weird thing. I don't know what the answer is.
It's so weird. And it's like, yeah, you know, and I think if you're, because I feel like if, to go back to, like, the Terry, making a Terry shirt, like, doing that, you donate your proceeds to, like, the Cauliflower Alley Fund or Cauliflower Alley Club. Like, that's, I've seen that happen. I think that's the proper route to go for Terry in particular. But yeah, like, I've seen people try to, like, make a fan CM Punk shirt and get contacted, like, you're going to get in trouble.
I saw that same one, and that person said about how we reached out and they showed some of the messages and stuff.
It was the Operation Ivy shirt. Yeah. It was sick.
Yeah.
I was like, it's sick. And then, yeah, he personally reached out. It was right before he went back to WWE, so I get it. Like, you could pull that in another place, but I feel like them, it's they're big business over there.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I, you know, try to stick to, I mean, as much as I can, some of the more retro stuff, or, you know, things like Terry and Bruiser Brody, or, like, some, like, Mexican wrestling stuff. Mexican wrestling is such a weird world where it's, like, such an absolutely bootlegged industry by nature.
Oh, my gosh,
you know, none of the luchadors are going to give a shit if you're, you know, doing something.
No, they're not. And it's insane. Like, you go outside of Arena Mexico and it's bootleg city, right? Like,
yeah.
That's what's there. It's insane, but it's also a beautiful thing, right? Because, like, is that the merch, or is there other merch inside? Like, is it just, like, mucho merch everywhere?
Well, I mean, you have all the street stuff. I know for a while they had, did you hear about the tunnel thing they had open before the city shut it down?
Oh, no.
They had this, like, cool tunnel where I don't know whether it, like, sort of was, like, a special entrance to Arena Mexico, and it kind of, like, went underground, or might have just been, like, you know, built up as, like, a temporary facade or something. But it was basically in that tunnel you had, like, the actual luchadors would do signings, and that was all, like, official merch through the tunnel, because the other bootleggers, you know, they were all on the street and outside. But this was a place where you could get all of, like, the official stuff that you'd know would be going straight to the luchadors. But apparently they got shut down by the city or something. But I think there is stuff around there where you can get official stuff too.
Oh, I'm sure. But that's cool little underground meet and greet. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I'm sure with, like, CMLL in particular, because their affiliation with New Japan, they have some sort of merch deal on the internet, at least. So yeah, there gotta be something there.
Yeah.
I have to go there and find out myself.
Dude, my bucket list, you know, one real wrestling thing that I've never got to do so far, and hopefully I'm going to do next year, finally go to Arena Mexico. I need to do that.
Yes, you do. That would be, hell yeah, that would be very sick.
Oh, man.
You'll have one of those moments of, like, you're just there, yeah. And you're just like, ah. There's a line, have you heard the song Call Me Al?
Yeah. I love that song.
Oh, I love that song so much. I was so crazy. Myself, my girlfriend Kirsten and her family, we went to France and Ireland this past summer. And we're in a pub in Ireland. And this guy is singing, like, he's really jamming out. And he starts singing that song. And I just lose my shit. I'm like, no way. We're in, like, my motherland, and they're playing my song. Like, what the fuck? I was stoked. I'm, you know, kicking the ground, slapping the table. I don't drink at all. I'm just like, you know, I even quit like nicotine around that. Well, I was quit vaping at that time, but like, you know, just drinking a soda. Oh, no. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my things, my cat hit my speaker, my cat hit my headphones, and it said, call ended. I was like, what?
I heard some meowing.
Yeah, I was like, what the heck? But yeah, I was so jazzed to hear Call Me Al. But there's that line at the end of the song where he's like, he's just looking around. He looks around, he sees angels in the architecture. Like, that's going to be you at Arena Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Just marking out hard.
Yeah, that's gonna be so rad.
it's such a funny thing. I have so like a bunch of Paul Simon records. Probably like my favorite shit to let play on vinyl, like whip out the Paul Simon, and I think that's gotta be my favorite song. It's another funny small world thing.
I'm saying, bro, we would be best friends if we lived in the same area. That is my if I had one favorite song, that is my favorite song.
Oh, and like, an incredible music video as well.
What's going on with that? You got Chevy Chase in there. He's singing the song. You're like,
just blew me so away. Bizarre, but so amazing.
Yeah, you're just like, what is this? Here's a weird one. Have you ever heard the song King of Rock and Roll by Prefab Sprout?
I don't think so.
You should look up that song. I feel like it is so your vibe, and you would enjoy it.
Okay. I'm opening that up in title as we speak to play as soon as we wrap this up.
Oh, that is, King of, let me make sure it's the correct title. Prefab Sprout, King of Rock and Roll. It is a trip. Watch the video, too. It is it's a beautiful thing.
All right. I will do. Amazing.
Dude,
this has been so much fun. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll definitely have to have part three in the near future as well. So good.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we could do a part three, four, however many times. I would love to be back because it is it's always a pleasure, my friend.
Absolutely, dude. And yeah, it really means a lot to me, like if you're saying that you know, from the first one, if, you know, any good stuff, you know, came out of that to, like, you know, keep driving your stuff forward, then it's absolutely sick. But I would like to, you know, highly recommend everyone is making sure to be following Gotch Style Bong Rips. And, yeah, as we approach the Christmas season or you know, any gift-giving season, birthdays, whatever, reach out to Petey for a commission because I know it will come out so good and you'll hit it out of the park.
I appreciate you, my friend. Again, very honored to be a guest. Huge fan of yours, and it's always great to chat with you.
Dude, I just keep up with your stuff, and I like it makes my eyes so happy. And you know, you speak in my kind of language for the kind of wrestling that I love, and it honestly, like what you're saying about, you know, me, when I see your stuff, it inspires me too, man. So, you know, I think be able to exchange these passions and be able to, you know, like, yeah, the magic of wrestling art on Instagram, it's a really cool thing. So thank you for doing the amazing stuff that you do, and I'm super stoked to keep up with it and keep watching it evolve into the future, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. That's an honor coming from you, because I feel the same exact way. Like, yeah, it's the inspiration of, like, that we're able to pass back and forth. It's so rad. Like, thank you. I really appreciate you.
Dude, my pleasure. On the way out, anything to plug or anything at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely Late Night Wrestling. Check that out on Apple Music and Spotify. The dopest podcast for podcasts. And yeah, check out my boy, the Pro Wrestling Potluck as well. Mr. Green Mist, another dope one. And Crimson Mask Replica. And KB Bop. And everyone who watches wrestling, because all wrestling fans are dope as hell.
And just any Eddie Kingston. Any Eddie Kingston that anyone can find. Go back to watch Shakara. Go back to watch his stuff in ROH. Go and watch, like, I'm super stoked whenever he makes his return to AEW. I'll be watching. Love me some Eddie.
Hell yeah. Watch Homicide. Watch Minoru Suzuki. Watch all the dope ones. But most importantly, you know, we should all take some time and watch some Terry Funk this week, and next week, and the week after, and the week after that. Make it a daily thing if you want to.
Everyone should. That the dude. Yes. In closing, I want to tell you my favorite part of the wrestling clubs. Everyone, I sneak into Terry match. That's sort of the one linking thing. And I've had, like, some people who've caught the Terry bug as a result.
Yes.
And being able to, like, you know, share that Terry addiction to others has been super, super fun.
Oh, that's the best. I'm stoked on that. Passing the love of the funker around is the what we gotta do.
Whatever we can do, man. Yeah, let's shout it from the rooftops.
That's it. I'm gonna start screaming. Terry!
Oh, thanks again, dude. This has been great.
It has been great. Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate it.
Dude, my pleasure. You have a good night.
You too, my friend.
All right. Take care, man. All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh my gosh. That was such a delight. Again, what a free flow and back and forth all over the place chat. But just made me so happy. Petey is the bloody man, and I am so stoked for all the cool stuff he's got going on, and honestly wish him every bit of success in the world. Yeah, man, it makes me real happy about doing this podcast, doing this thing. Mind-blowing of you know, what Petey said, if this is in any way, you know, this show and his appearance last time has in any way brought forward his stuff or brought some new eyeballs onto him. But yeah, man, it's nice. It's so nice. I want to thank you guys for listening, for keeping up, for supporting. Yeah, man, it's a nice time. If you do want to support Petey, as I said, make sure to be following Gotch Style Bong Rips. I'm sure he'd be able to hook you up in a sick manner with a commission or whatnot, so reach out to him on availability. If you would like any such things from myself, I'm also happy to help out. If you want a Chris Thinks commission, swing me a little old message and I'll do up something fun for you. I really appreciate you guys, you know, supporting. If you do want to buy an art print or a t-shirt or a calendar or a book, you can do all those things at christhings.com.au. But yeah, I just appreciate you guys listening. And if this somehow brings you some sort of joy through your week when you listen to this nonsense, then that makes me happy. I'd also like to thank Social Suplex, socialsuplex.com, home to this podcast and a variety of other cool podcasts, including One Nation Radio, Keeping It Strong Style, the New Japan podcast of the network, All Things Elite, Imp's WWE Adventure, the AEW Match Recommendation Podcast, the Trish and Sarah Podcast, Tunnel Talk, all sorts of things. Man, I just did that off the top of my head. Didn't have notes. I hope there's no one that I'm forgetting, but we do our best around here. But yeah, dude, this has been a fun time, and I'm happy for you guys to be part of the journey, you know, part of the journey of people like Petey, part of my art journey. You know, if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't get to do this. And that goes out, you know, especially to all of you all that bought the book, you know, that buy prints, that buy any of the things. You know, it's cheesy to say, but you guys are allowing me to live my dream. And that means everything to me. So I'm going to keep on putting the stuff out there and keep on pushing this thing as far as I possibly can. But thank you so much for tagging along for the journey week by week. It's a cool time. And maybe you'll be able to look back on this and it'll be a cool little memento. But at the very least, I'm having fun. And I hope you guys are having fun. If you have some creative projects that you're doing, I hope you have fun with them. I hope you know, whether it's drawing or whatever it is, make time for creative parts in your life. Like whether it's doing a little drawing at a cafe, like we're saying, or, you know, if your creative ambition is something else, of, you know, pottery or collage or whatever it might be, do it. This life is too short to just be working and then coming home and doom scrolling and watching TV. Try to make time for things that give you a fulfilling and fun energy. That's my Chris Things TED Talk of the day. I don't know. Do what you want. Do what you want that makes you happy. That's the main thing. All right. Until next week, this has been Wrestling Out with Chris Things. I am Chris Things, and I hope you have a fun week. Enjoy.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.